Good morning and welcome once again to Bally Baptist and to our thought for today. Today I want to leave the well at Harran and move forward about 900 years or so to the well of Harod, found in Judges chapter 7. This well is at the foot of Mount Gilboa, and the water bubbles out of the rock and creates a stream of clear water. And it was here that Gideon rallied his forces to repel the Midianite invaders and their allies. You'll know the background to this story. It's found in Judges chapters 6 to 8. The tribes of Israel had been unfaithful to God yet again, and so God had allowed the Midianites to oppress his people, to bring them once again to recognize their sin in departing from him. After 7 years of oppression, God chose Gideon to lead the fight back against the forces of Midian. In chapter 6, Gideon issues a call to arms throughout the tribes of Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. In the book of Numbers, chapter 1, we are told that these four tribes could muster 194,500 fighting men when Moses assessed the fighting strength of the tribes of Israel. And yet only 32,000 men have turned up to answer the call from Gideon, which is probably about 1 in 6 or 1 in 7 of the true fighting strength of these tribes. Judges chapter 8 and verse 10 shows us that the Midianites and their allies had a minimum of 135,000 fighting men. So Gideon's initial force of 32,000 is outnumbered at least 4 plus to 1. I'm sure Gideon had been hoping for a much larger force. And yet God tells him he has got too many, and tells him to send home all who were afraid, and 22,000 leave on the spot, cutting his force to a mere 10,000. And God said yet again, that's still too many. Let's read the first 7 verses of Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go every man unto his place. Now, I don't know if I'm reading too much into the fact that Gideon asked God twice for proof in chapter 6 that God would give Israel a victory under Gideon's leadership. And now God reduces the Israeli force in 2 steps. But I wonder, is it that God, having given Gideon the proof he wanted, is now testing his faith? But as God, we saw, God also knows the way people think. that they would be very quick to claim that the success was down to them. So God whittles down Gideon's army from 32,000 down to the 300, so that there can be no doubt whatsoever that victory was only possible because God was in it. This wasn't some vanity trip on God's part, but that the people would see clearly that God had helped them, and so they would trust him and rely on him in the future. In verse 1 of chapter 7, we are told that Gideon pitched camp beside the well of Harod. Harod in Hebrew means trembling. So we could call this the well of trembling. And you can see why. The Israelites were greatly outnumbered. And even their leader was afraid, as we would read in verse 10 if we had read that far. For many today, coronavirus is a well of trembling. Or perhaps your well of trembling has more to do with the death of a loved one, or a serious illness in the family. For some, it could be financial worries because work is looking shaky with all the turmoil in the current situation. The future is looking uncertain. And perhaps you're feeling guilty about such fears because, as a Christian, you're supposed to live by faith. Again, we didn't read verse 10, but God didn't rebuke Gideon for a lack of faith, but instead gave him yet another sign to reassure him of victory. And the great thing is, he won't condemn you or I either. He wants us to come to him with all our doubts and all our fears, so he can reassure us of his loving care. As Alwyn told us from Romans 8 and verse 31 in the morning devotional yesterday, if God be for us, who can be against us? Christian, may this thought lift your heart today. God is for you. Let's commit our day to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you today that each child of God can claim that promise that you are for us. You are with us. You have promised you will never leave us. And even though at times the days can look dark, situations can bring fear to our hearts, we thank you that you are still there for us. You are still working out our salvation. You are still there to be our support. And so, Father, whatever today may bring, we commit it to you. And we ask that those who are going through those dark and difficult times will have a very strong and real sense of your presence and your comfort in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Father, we do indeed remember those of our fellowship who mourn today, those who are ill, those who have got tests and a treatment underway. We bring them to you and ask that you will bless and be with them and comfort them. And Father, for our land today, we pray that you will use this time of concern, this time of fear, that people might think beyond just today, that they might consider, as your word puts it, consider their latter end. Father, so many today have no thought for eternity. We ask that you will speak to their hearts at this time, bringing to their mind that without you, eternity will be spent in hell. And so, Father, we pray today that you will do an awakening in our land, and that many will turn, repent of their sin, and accept the salvation that you so freely offer. Undertake for us this day and help us, Lord, to rejoice in our salvation. We thank you for your love to us in our Saviour's name. Amen. And may you know God's peace and God's blessing in your life today.